This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Dr. Ronald A. Johnson, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University, by WCLK 91.9 FM, and by Clark Atlanta University itself. Your Health Connection focuses on today's healthcare information to help you improve your quality of life.
You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. On today's program, we're discussing sexual wellness and fertility after cancer. Our guests are Dr. Desiree McCarthy Keith and Dr. Walter Falconer. Now you can join the conversation, sexual wellness and fertility after cancer. Call us now. Be a part of this talk right now at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255, or join us via Twitter at CCRTD. This is such an important subject, sexual wellness and fertility after cancer, because one thing about Your Health Connection is that we are always trying to provide information so that you can guide your way through cancer or guide a loved one through cancer treatment. And we are hopeful for good outcomes always, and we are here to offer hope. And so today, in talking about sexual wellness and fertility after cancer, we're hoping that you take away some good information you can share with those in your life. 404-880-9255. If you would like to call in with your questions or suggestions or anything you would like to ask Dr. Walter Falconer and Dr. Desiree McCarthy Keith. Dr. McCarthy Keith, I want to start with you. You know, a lot of folks lose hope when they hear the diagnosis of cancer. They think, oh, but I haven't had my children yet, or we were hoping to expand our family. So we should not, or should we, be concerned with having any fertility options after hearing cancer as a diagnosis?
We definitely want patients to think about their fertility. When they have their diagnosis, that's the time to speak with their physicians and to talk about options for preserving their fertility, because we know that in my area, I take care mostly of women, that many women are living beyond their cancer diagnosis and treatment, and we don't want to see them after they've beat their cancer and then their fertility is affected by their treatment. So if we have that conversation initially, we can a lot of times step in and freeze a woman's eggs or do freeze sperm even to prepare them for the future, so that when they come on the other side of their cancer, we can talk about having their family then.
That's wonderful. Dr. Falconer, Walter Falconer, you are a urologist. And for the men, this is something we want to know. I mean, Dr. McCarthy Keith is talking about freezing eggs for women, but sperm also can be frozen. What are some of the fertility options if a man gets the diagnosis of cancer?
Well, absolutely. It depends on the type of cancer.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are some cancers in men that affect the man's ability to even be fertile. He would render sterile as a result of the procedure. So testicular cancers and things of this nature. Some prostate cancer surgery or treatment can do that as well. So identifying the younger patient who has some potential of wanting to have children in the future, and look at some of the options. Freezing the sperm is one very viable option, you know, for those men. Fortunately, for a lot of cancers that we see in other visceral organs, they tend to be of older people. And there are some patients who are later on in their years, therefore aren't interested in childbearing at that point. But there are some patients, you know, with all cancers as a spectrum of disease. And so it can affect even the younger population.
Well, this is what we've noticed. And I think, you know, there's been enough in popular culture even that we are aware that more and more people are receiving the diagnosis of cancer at younger and younger ages. And so sexual wellness and fertility, you know, has really become a part of the conversation when trying to even identify which treatment option you're going to go with. In your experience at your practice, we'd love to hear a little bit. Dr. McCarthy-Keith, would you say you treat women primarily? What kinds of things are they saying to you? Has this become more popular in the last couple of years?
It's definitely become more popular. And for women, breast cancer diagnosis occurs in women often of reproductive age. Also, women diagnosed with ovarian and uterine cancer a lot of times may still have their fertility or childbearing ahead of them. And so we do get referrals for patients who've had a recent diagnosis of a cancer, and then we want to talk to them about ways to preserve their fertility or prepare for later on.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Falconer, you were saying, you know, again, in your practice, you've seen mainly older patients. So have you seen a lot of this younger and younger patients now where you're having to perhaps have this conversation a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. Or the men who delay that, you know, in their lives. And I think there's still a subset of men who have, you know, children at a very early age, but they're another subgroup of men who wait later on in life and they begin to kind of hit that transition point where they have to consider that in their diagnosis.
We're talking about sexual wellness and also fertility after cancer. And we would love to hear from you if this has been your experience, or perhaps you have frozen your eggs or your sperm, or you have family members or friends who are trying to consider what their options are with fertility as they deal with managing their cancer treatment. We want to hear from you. 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. A lot of times, you know, it's about hope. And when when patients start cancer treatments, they worry about side effects. I mean, this is the most common thing. You know, you hear about the chemotherapy side effects. You hear about radiation side effects. Talk to us a little bit, if you will, Dr. McCarthy-Keith, about some of the side effects that really impact, you know, fertility and certainly sexual function after you're done or going through the treatment.
For the common female cancers, the chemotherapy regimens often used can really affect a woman's ovarian function. And we know that women, we're born with all of our eggs. And when we have certain exposures, those are exposures to our egg supply for the rest of our lifetime. It's not something that goes away or that our egg supply is renewed. And so when women receive chemotherapy for the breast cancers, even sometimes women who are treated with those same agents for lupus and things like that will see permanent damage to their ovaries after those treatments, which is not reversible. And so again, we want to talk about ways to either collect her eggs beforehand or talk about different types of regimens and ways to maybe protect the ovaries from those effects. Same with radiation can also affect the ovarian function permanently.
Dr. Falconer, in urology, what are some of the side effects you're seeing patients present with when they are coming to you asking questions about fertility and they're asking about sexual function after or as they are going through cancer treatment? Side effects of chemotherapy or radiation factoring in?
Well, you will see it, but particularly in prostate cancer. It's not so much the side effect of the treatment, is actually the location, the anatomical location of the prostate gland. Mm-hmm. So the prostate gland is one of our sexual organs, accessory organs. And so when it's removed or radiated or frozen as part of the treatment of prostate cancer, now these men, they aren't sterile. They still probably produce sperm, but the tube that allows sperm to come up, the vas deferens, and heard men having vasectomies. These men really get a vasectomy as part of their treatment. And so you still, for those men, you still can access them, you know, through other means, and they're still considered fertile.
That is such a good point, because I don't think, and I know this comes up, and, you know, sometimes I need to tell both of you doctors, you know, patients are nervous about talking about sexual wellness. They're nervous to ask about fertility options. If you have a question or an experience you would like to share with us, fertility and sexual wellness after cancer or while enduring your cancer treatments, we'd love to hear from you. 404-880-9255. I mean, Dr. Falconer, a lot of men struggle with, you know, this is the part of my definition of manhood, my ability to have children, to procreate. How do you address that when you're working with a patient? How do you speak to that?
Well, it's tough. I mean, you have to keep your eye on the prize here. I mean, what we focus on is cancer treatment and survivability. I tell men, you know, there are several different treatments of the side effects of treating prostate cancer or most cancers, and we have to at least let them know on the front end that there are some potential risk of all therapies, you know. But they're also very, very good treatments. We live in a time now where, in terms of erectile dysfunction, is one of the things a lot of men get concerned about. We have a host of treatment from pills to shot to surgeries and things that are available.
And
for
they're
the
very
patient.
Effective?
Yeah, very effective.
So that's something we should honestly consider. Sometimes we don't know as consumers, as patients, if these things are reliable or just great marketing. We see commercials, you know, and they'll you know, come on and they, you know, make the ad look very enticing. But we don't know if that's, you know, information we should trust or even pursue. It's good to hear you say these are options and questions we really should ask our provider.
Yeah. I think it's a tough place because there's also a lot of direct-to-consumer marketing that's not even within the pharmaceutical space. Mm-hmm. A lot of herbal formulations and, you know, these ads in magazines and things. I counsel patients just, you know, come to the source. I mean, talk to a physician about this to get the proper, you know, information.
If you have been wondering about fertility and sexual wellness, you know, how well will I function after my cancer treatment? Or perhaps, you know, there's something going on now without being too personal. You have the access now to two wonderful doctors. Dr. Walter Falconer and Dr. Desiree McCarthy-Keith are here right now for your questions and to hear your experience at 404-880-9255, sexual wellness and fertility after cancer. I know a lot of times, you know, when you're dealing with cancer and your treatment and what to do, and if you're trying to support someone who's going through, it is tough from the psychological end. You know, there's depression, there's frustration. And when you talk about sexual function, you know, again, these can be questions that patients are embarrassed to ask you. I mean, they're just embarrassed, you know. And so what are some of the things you'd like patients to know about broaching the subject of sexual wellness while enduring cancer treatment or after cancer, Dr. McCarthy-Keith? What do you say to your patients, kind of knowing they're nervous to bring it up?
Well, we just remind them that these are medical conditions and that we want to talk about them the same way that we would talk about high blood pressure, diabetes, or anything else. And so we just want them to be comfortable to seek that information. And again, the most important thing is for patients to be informed ahead of their cancer treatment at the time of diagnosis, which is very hard because it's already a very difficult diagnosis. It's stressful, and they're frustrated and sad and unsure about the future. And so it's really mm-hmm. hard, mm-hmm. but we have to make time to focus on the future, again, because many women and men are surviving their cancer, and we don't want to have those conversations too late.
That's exactly right, Dr. Falconer. A lot of folks forget that because you receive a cancer diagnosis, you need to remember that you can survive cancer, you will survive. We need, you know, the thinking, the psychology is so important in really doing well in responding to your treatments, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, in this current modern time, the survivability is very, very good for patients. And they have to understand that. I was talking to some men who get concerned about the side effect of treatment that won't even allow them to get screened for the cancer.
So because of the fear?
Of the fear, you know, of what the potential treatment would render them. So they're avoiding the diagnosis. Knowing about things and not knowing is the issue for us.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. By not knowing doesn't mean also it's not going to happen. See,
absolutely.
There's that thought, if I don't know, then nothing will happen. I will remain healthy. No, you're progressively not getting better, and it's important to have the diagnosis. Is that what you're really trying to get us to understand? And get the diagnosis.
Yeah, and for a lot of these conditions, the earlier the diagnosis, the less potential there is of these side effects that are really worrisome for the patient.
Exactly. What are some of, when you're talking to men, Dr. Falconer, when you're working with men through this, the psychological side, I know women, we tend to get, you know, depressed because our fertility is so much of a definition of what we contribute to family. I mean, the children are birthed through our bodies, but it's our men who lead our homes and often stop and think that, you know what, I won't be seen or viewed the same way now. How do you work through this with your male patients?
You know, so if you have to individualize the patients and that, you know, having a good rapport with patients, understanding the dynamic of a lot of men. I understand a lot of conditions because I am a man and where that comes from. And it's important to articulate that you understand, you know, where they are. I think having a spouse or a partner there at some point to discuss the expectations of this. A lot of these men think it's going to be a problem at home, but for a lot of the person at the house, it's not a deal breaker at all. So they have to be aware of some of the potential side effects or risk of procedures.
Having those conversations, those are the tough conversations, though. I mean, we could use some guidance from you now, just some tips on, as the spouse, as the caretaker, as the one that's trying to be supportive, what do you suggest we do as the community behind the person who is working through their cancer? Dr. McCarthy, Keith, any tips for us? I know we have said in past shows, accompany the patient to the appointment. Any other tips?
Exactly. And a lot of times, support do not know what to say. And so right. if you don't really know exactly what to say, just being there, your presence, your physical presence and your support still means a lot when patients are going through. So like you mentioned, being there, being another set of ears when they're being evaluated or going through results or talking about treatment options. And then sometimes just being with someone and saying, I'm here for you. Let me know what you need. Mm-hmm. Tell me how I can help you. It goes a long way.
It does. Dr. Falconer, any tips for us that are trying to support the patient that shows up in your office?
Yeah, I agree with that. The same thing. Just the presence of a loved one. And then being honest. That's why, you know, I think when you bring someone to the visit or just someone has a diagnosis, we can articulate to the family member or the partner or the spouse just exactly what's going on and the importance of where we are in this present time in this situation. We're thinking of the future. We're hoping for the future. But right now, our goals are to cure the patient of their cancer, and that should be the primary effort on everyone's part.
Oh, it's absolute truth, and that's exactly we as the community, the supportive community, that's what we want, and we want to do a good job of it. And Dr. McCarthy, Keith, you make a good point. We don't know what to say. You know, we don't know what to do before we are viewed as overstepping. So this is great advice. If you want to talk about sexual wellness and fertility after cancer, we want to hear from you. What is your experience? Have you had your baby after your cancer treatment, successful cancer treatment, and now your family has grown? We want to hear from you. 404-880-9255. Sexual wellness and fertility after cancer is not a subject most people even put together, really, because cancer often makes us think of the end of things. We don't open our minds to seeing our life beyond the diagnosis. And I think this is such a critical thing to discuss because a lot of people don't know how to bring up, you know, sexual function. You know, I don't know how to talk to my partner or my spouse because they feel like, you know, perhaps they'll leave. And now we know the challenge of managing a major illness on a relationship. Do you, either one of you, suggest any type of counseling or what can the families do for support when it's challenging to have these necessary conversations that you recommend, Dr. Falconer?
I mean, there are avenues of some professional counseling that's available for, you know, for the patients if they need it. I think some religious counseling is always very helpful in this paradigm of treatment of cancer, you know, yes. And it's not but one healer and it's not me and it's none of us. It's, you know, so we have to keep our spiritual being there to help us get through this particular situation. So I think those things are very important.
Very important. And Dr. McCarthy, Keith, a lot of folks just tend to lose hope here because they don't know how to have the conversation for fear that the patient might view it as pressure. They might view it as, you know, I'm inadequate. Any guidance or advice do you suggest couples go to any kind of support groups or counseling as Dr. Falconer is suggesting?
Absolutely. And in the infertility practice in general, we rely heavily on our psychological support team. And so we refer patients often. Dealing with a infertility diagnosis can be very stressful and overwhelming for patients and couples. So we always refer, if you add in the layer of a cancer diagnosis to that infertility, it can make it even harder to know which way to go and just how to manage that and how to keep moving forward, facing your cancer and still being optimistic about what's to come after that. So we refer lots of patients for psychological support throughout the treatment diagnosis.
It's so important that we not be afraid to seek that and know that that is a part of the healing too.
Absolutely.
If it has been your experience that you and your spouse or your partner have worked through sexual wellness after cancer or infertility, are you now an expanded family thanks to fertility treatments after cancer? We'd love to hear your experience. We'll take your questions now. Sexual wellness and fertility after cancer, 404-880-9255 will connect you to your health connection.